Say What? Say What Radio Show. With no agenda. It's always a surprise. But if we're not having fun, we're doing something wrong.
And welcome to the Say What Show. It is May 2nd, 2020. My name is Nancy Hopkins. With me is Dolly Howard and Barbara White. I'm supposed to tell you that this show does play at 6 to 8 Eastern Time on Saturdays, because people don't know when the live show is. So, hi there. Did Dolly get in here? Is Dolly here, or is it just you and me, Barbara?
I'm here.
Okay, good, good.
Hi,
good.
Dolly, again.
Hi, Barb, again. And Nancy.
And Nancy.
Yeah.
I had to hear Jan, y'all. Jan is one of my most favorite shows in the world. And I had to hear, so I apologize for being so brief in and out.
That's perfectly all right. I don't blame you one thread.
So it's been two months? Yes, that
yeah.
Barbara hasn't been here. And she's got many, many stories to tell. And she also has been out of the, not paying as much attention, let's say, to reality as we have, or a given reality as we have. So, Barb, I'm going to just pass it off to you. What would you like to talk about?
Oh, golly. Well, where was I last month at this time? Last month at this time, I was trapped on Hatteras Island. And I'd gone down reluctantly to visit my son.
Okay, that's North Carolina for the people that don't know. Yeah.
Right. I'm sorry. Yes, it's one of what they call the Outer Banks, or the Outer Islands, the Outer Banks Islands. And if you look at the map of the United States and you see that little tail along the east coast of islands, and there's one point where it is the farthest out in the ocean, and there's a little bump there, and that's exactly where my son lives. And it's a very treacherous little place. It's narrow. In some places, it's just a few, just very few feet across from the ocean to the sound. The sound being the water between the mainland and the island. And when there are storms, the water breaches the island and you get trapped, and there are thousands of tons of sand and water, big lakes that shut off the island from the rest of the world.
Now, Barb, how many people live there normally?
In the village? Oh, golly. Oh, it's Rodanthe is the name of the village. It looks like Rodanthe, R-O-D-A-N-T-H-E, but it's one of those. Anyway, I can't tell you. Maybe 1,500, maybe. There's a string of three little fishing villages. And when my in-laws first went down there in 82, it was still the descendants of Blackbeard's pirates. You know, back in the whenever, Blackbeard was being discovered by the British or the French. I can't remember who. They were tracking him down. And I think he had three ships. And Hatteras was one of his lairs. And so he packed up the worst of the worst of the pirates on one ship and left the two ships on Hatteras, and those pirates were left on Hatteras. And he took off with his one ship and his best buddies. That's my understanding of the history. I don't like being there. I never have liked being there. The energy is there is not good. And there was, you know, my husband went down there back in 82 and, or before that even, and he fell in love with the place. He called it the Banana Republic of the U.S. And, you know, a lot of transient people, a lot of drugs, you know, surfers and people that just went down there to kind of, it was very primitive, very, very primitive and pretty isolated. Nobody really knew it was there. Anyway, since then it's built up and there are big, you know, big rental houses that are several floors high, way up tall and on the ocean, and they get washed away in the hurricanes. And they shot the Richard Gere movie, Nights in Rodanthe. They shot it there. And you can still see the house that they filmed there. They didn't film the inside, but they filmed the outside. And, you know, they shut down the roads and, you know, people were standing at the edges of the filming while they were doing that. They saw Richard Gere and Sharon Mason? I can't remember. I'm not very good at it. I don't know very much. I don't go to movies. I haven't even seen Contact. And everybody says, oh, you ought to see Contact. Anyway, I went down, I don't know, several years ago I'd been down there. And, you know, it has been very, very much destroyed by three different hurricanes in the the last 10 years or so. Katrina really ripped it up, and my mother-in-law who lived there, she and I spent a week in a basement of a woman who I didn't even know, who sheltered us while we were waiting for news about what happened on Hatteras. We didn't have any electricity or anything, and we were living on rice cakes and peanut butter and down in this woman's basement. And then when we got electricity, we saw the devastation of the island. So my mother-in-law came and lived with me for 6 weeks until she could get back on the island. And so besides being really treacherous, and I never, never feel safe there, one time several years ago, I was pulling out of the driveway. My son has a tackle shop down there and also a home. He's living where my mother-in-law lived. And I'm pulling out of the driveway, and sometimes I see things. Well, frequently I see things. Okay, so I'm pulling out of the driveway. I'm looking back towards the sound, and I saw, well, I'll tell you what I gleaned that I saw. I saw several Native Americans and several pirates, and I knew that they were making some kind of an agreement and that the Indians, the Native Americans that lived on the island, when the pirates got there, I knew that they had been massacred, and I sensed that energy. And there have been really weird things that have happened on that property. I'm convinced it's haunted. Oh, and I don't know if I talked about this before or not. Okay, I'm probably going to get in trouble. They're going to come to my – men in black are going to come to my door. There's one road onto the island. It comes down from Nag's Head. It's Route 12. It's just a single two-lane highway. It comes down through Pea Island, and Pea Island is a part of the National Seashore. At one point, several years ago, a canal got ripped through the island, and you couldn't get off the island or on the island. It was completely breached through and cut through. So they built a bridge over it. And anyway, driving down Route 12, you can hear the hollow sound that you hear. You know, when you go over a bridge, you can hear that really loud noise. Or there are lots of places when you're driving. Route 70 from Columbus towards Indiana, there's a long, long stretch of that hollow sound. I mean, I'm convinced that there are many, 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 I'm totally convinced that there are many, many tunnels that we have no clue about all over the country, under the ocean. I know it sounds crazy, but, you know, I have really fringe ideas. So if anyone listens to me, they already know that.
Well, there's a few less now.
There's a what?
A few less now.
Rats?
Less. Why do you think that there are tunnels? Because you hear this weird, you get this weird sound when you're running over the highways?
Well, that's one of the reasons. That's where I know where they are.
Okay. And what other reasons?
Okay. And of course, listening to fringe ideas, I'm totally convinced that there are tunnels everywhere. Now, I stayed in Scotland with a man who went all over the world. And his wife, he goes all over the world. I don't know whether he sells or supervises or engineers these giant monster borers, B-O-R-R-E-R-S, no, B-O-R, ERS, sorry, like bore, like you bore a hole. And you can pull up, very few, but you can pull up pictures of these huge monster machines. And there are pictures, Oak Ridge in Tennessee during the World War II. I have a friend, and she grew up there, and her father was part of Oak Ridge, and so was her brother. They both died of cancer. They were in the secret. Once you went there, you were trapped there. You were, you know, it's like loose lips sink ships. They were totally isolated. They were not allowed to go on or off of the area. And that's where the bomb was being developed. So they got poisoning and died. She lives right here in town. And when I was talking about these fringe ideas, she said, I know. She said, I know. I lived there. So that was kind of a verification to me. But anyway, there are pictures out there. I don't think they're on the – I know they're on the internet because that's where I saw them first. But that was like years ago. I don't even know if they're available right now the way things have been censored. But there are these huge, huge bores that they were using then at that time. And the men look like ants standing in front of them. So anyway, I stayed with this guy in Scotland, and he said if there were secret tunnels that he would know about them, because he works for this company that has these bores where they drill tunnels under the ocean, and they, anyway, he said he'd know about them. Well, you know, there are tunnels from Washington years ago, tunnels from Washington, D.C. to Greenbrier, West Virginia, and they even did a documentary on it. But I have been in the tunnels back in the 60s, the late 60s and early 70s. I taught in Cleveland, and we took our kids to Washington as the eighth grade trip, and we went down in the tunnels underneath the White House and Congress. And it was a huge, huge area with stores and everything. And they had like giant golf carts that they would drive. So we drove around in these carts. So I know there's stuff there, only people don't know that there's a lot more. I remember hearing on NPR that there were 7 business levels under Arlington, Virginia, with computer offices where they were tracking terrorists. And the interviewer was saying, well, if you can track all the phone calls and stuff, can you do that with the citizens of America? And they said, oh, yes, we could, but we never would do that. Well, of course, we know now because it's out. You know, we get lied to, and, you know, they keep everything a secret. So, or that's supposed to be the way things are. You know, there are a lot of whistleblowers coming out. Anyway, this tunnel. So driving down Route 12, you could hear. Now, they've changed the routes a little bit because of the problems that they've had with the island breaching. And with they have bulldozers and front-end loaders down there constantly on the island on Route 12, constantly moving around sand and trying to keep the road open. Anyway, driving down there, you can hear the hollow sound. You can hear that sound in your tires that you know you're driving over something hollow. And people say, well, it couldn't be hollow because it's sand underneath the road. Yes, 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 yes. But these bores, I wish I could tell you where I have heard and read this information. I read and study and research so much, I don't keep it in my mind where I get all this information.
Okay, let me jump in here for a second, because you might have looked at Phil Schneider's information regarding Dulce, because that's where I saw those first big pictures of these huge, huge boring things to prove that Phil Schneider, who says he got into a battle with ETs down there, you know, that this is what you're talking about is so very real. And the concept that you were over a road that sounded like there was something hollow underneath it, they do build these tunnels. And everybody is beginning to understand about the tunnels, because while you weren't paying attention, people started to come out and talk about the underground battle that's been waging for a couple of years now. And they're actually fighting. There's Well, back in, it started as soon as the president got in office, but then in 2018, there was like $30 million set aside to have American units stationed in CONUS, Continental United States, trained in underground fighting. So there was like, out of 32, 27 of them were trained to go underground and to fight in these tunnels. So the first time I heard that they were, well, actually, when the, those California fires happened, they were very suspicious to me. And
me too.
And others. And I felt like this was strategic military operations, you know, not random fires. But I and everybody else that seemed to have looked at it kind of like went, oh, that's interesting, but we never pursued it. Well, in fact, virtually as soon as they could, the first known attack that was released to the public, us, the conspiracy people, was China Lake. Because in 2018, in summer there was an earthquake in China Lake. Okay, but the earthquake signature was not in the seismographic signature. It was a tactical nuke that was more likely it than an earthquake.
And that was a base that was blown up, right?
Say again?
That was a base, an underground base that was blown up.
It was a base underground that was blown up, but before they did that, the reason they went there first was because that's where they were keeping the children. And I thought at the time that the figure was 3,500. It turned out to be 35,000 children. That they didn't save them all.
Yeah.
But the other thing about what's happening is that there's a guy named Gene Decode, and he seems to be connected. He says he was a submariner and that he's been trained in special ops and super soldier stuff, but he has so much accurate information regarding the underground. He went, I knew it was there, but my God, it's enormous. It's probably bigger than what's on the surface. And when he started talking about it, he went state by state, talking about whether it was under white hat control, black hat control, or under attack. Going, you know, every little unit level underground, but you know, units of, and he tell you what they were doing there. I mean, if this guy's making it up, he's one hell of a storyteller. But one of the things that he said was that a lot of times the tunnels are underneath the highways,
right?
You know, following the highway,
right.
But what they're finding is that, or he's telling, he says, you know, and I really need somebody to look at this. Somebody will. He says, well, they're like, Dulce is still a problem area. D.C. area is completely under their control. Weeks ago, he said 70% of it was already under white hat control. But there's factions in there, like Dulce, you would expect it as this would be, you know, a terrible battle, because that supposedly is where they have our ET, you know, maybe the not so nice ETs, a facility there that is run by them, and that there's a lot of genetic manipulation and, you know, terrible things at Dulce.
Right.
So
New Mexico, right? Northern New Mexico, right?
Yes,
I have been there. I would not go through Dulce, so I went through. Anyway, I went by it, but I didn't go through it.
So your instincts about the it being massive is true, and you know that's what's delaying everything else, is that they haven't, apparently, according to what he said not too long ago, was that especially in California. Oh, this is really interesting, because I was listening to another station. It was the first time I'd been listening to it. It's Mike Barra's station, but he was through these two guys. And this young guy is in California, in Los Angeles. And he's reporting, he's saying, look, I don't know what the heck is happening here. He said, the port of Los Angeles is completely surrounded by military. There's helicopters in the air. There's police on the ground. He said, and I keep hearing explosions underneath my house. And so then Gene comes on, and he, and not Gene, it was Mike said, yeah, he said, according to Gene, what's happening is that they got in there and found out that there were certain areas that had been mined of different stuff in the L.A. area that had pockets of resistance fighters in them that our guys got bogged down trying to fight, and that the white hats were winning, and the black hats, the only place that they could try to get out of the underground was in the L.A., the port of L.A. So the military was sort of like there to pick them up as they came out of the hole.
Cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of really, you know, you don't know if it's bullshit or not, but boy, right, it's right. Really interesting information.
I have a, speaking of bullshit, speaking of information and disinformation, you know, about that which must not be named, the you-know-what, the B-U-G.
Oh, the sickness.
All right. I refuse to give it any energy. But anyway,
sorry.
There's so much. No, it's fine, Dolly. I have a dear friend in Germany, and Petra is very, very, very intuitive and very psychic, and she has prophetic dreams and, you know, all kinds of good stuff. So if there'd be anybody that I'd have maybe sort of a leaning to figure that maybe they knew what was going on, it might be Petra. And she wrote a couple weeks ago and said, you know, there's so much information and disinformation. She said, I'm so confused. I don't know what to believe. And I thought, oh God, I'm in the same boat. I really don't know what to believe about the BUG. Anyway, other than the fact that I cannot believe that where I live, right here in Appalachia, where nobody believes anything, and anything I say, people roll their eyes, I haven't run into one person who hasn't believed that it is a scam. Now, I don't know what they believe or what part they think is a scam, but they at least are awake to the fact that something isn't right, which just absolutely thrills me. It's kind of like, just like what you said at the beginning, Nancy, people are waking up. I am so excited. I am so uplifted. I am so enthusiastic. I am on the verge of ecstatic that people are waking up. And that is the literal truth. I am...
Relieved. Anyway,
okay, getting back to the tunnel. You know, the borers that they have today are, you know, some of the hidden technology. And they say that they, whoever they are, I have heard and read the technology that is available to us but is not being used is beyond our imagination. You know, I'm sure you've heard the things that there really are replicators and we can really have them replicate anything, food, whatever. I think about Ben Rich, who was the CEO of Skunkworks, which is Lockheed Martin's secret space program. And, you know, he said on NPR, when I was listening to NPR years ago, he said, you know, we already have the technology to send ET home, but it would take an act of God to make it available for human, you know, the masses. Anyway, these borers, they don't need to shovel out the dirt. You know, people say, well, where do they put the dirt? No, they are actually literally able to go through the earth and make a glass, like a glass shell on the inside of the, I mean, they, I don't know whether it literally dematerializes or whether they can just transmute it. I don't know what, but it makes these huge, huge holes that have like a shiny, strong, it'll hold up through the sand, the dirt, whatever. You know, it was funny because one of these tunnels collapsed, I don't know, 12, 15 years ago, along route, wait a minute. I can't remember whether it was along 77 or whether it was on 70 on the way to North or West Virginia, between where I live here in Appalachia over towards West Virginia. And It was closed off for quite some time while the road got repaired. Anyway, going down Route 12 on Hatteras Island, you can hear the hollow under your tires. I don't know what, 6 or 7 years ago, when I was sleeping upstairs in the little house that's on the property. Normally I would sleep downstairs, but my mother-in-law had taken the downstairs bedroom, so I was sleeping upstairs. And when I would be up there, I would hear this wow, wow, wow. Did I tell you about this on a previous
show?
Okay. It sounds like a giant, huge, like maybe 12 or 15 foot fan that is not quite balanced, and it's a little eccentric, and you can hear the sound of the fan making that noise. When a fan is, when something is eccentric, it's not balanced right, it'll have a, sometimes it'll go wow, 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 you know? That noise of something, especially a fan. Okay. Right around that time, I saw Men in Black again, and they're in one of the shots. You know, they go into this building that doesn't look like what it is, and then the guy's sitting in a chair next to this huge fan. And we know how, speaking of movies, you know how I jump around. I want to take you back to the tunnel. But while I was down there this last time when I was trapped on the island, my son and my grandson were watching Minions. And my son is really, he said, look, Mom, look. And they go to this evil fest. I can't remember what they called it. But anyway, the kids are walking around at this evil fest with balloons. And one of the balloons are COVID. Oops, the bug. Are the pictures of the bugs. Those are the balloons. And he took a shot of it and stopped it for me. So I thought, oh, my gosh. That's exactly what. And in the same movie, they're walking by the set where Stanley Kubrick made the set of the moonwalk in 69 or 67 when it was 69. And, you know, Kubrick was supposed to have made just that. It really didn't happen the way we saw it on our televisions there. So the Minions are walking by this set, and you can see the cameras, and you can see the astronauts, and you can see the flag supposedly blowing, but of course it's plastered there as if it were blowing. Anyway, I thought, oh my gosh, they're showing us what really happened. Anyway, so I'm lying there in bed, and sometimes the house would sway. You know, it's up on stilts. And the stilts, I think they're 14 or 24, I can't remember which, but I mean, they're very, very deep, into the sand. My father-in-law, when he built the place, really, really anchored it in there so that if anything came along, that place was not going anywhere. And so for it to sway, you know, it isn't a car driving by. There's something underneath there, and I'd be lying there in bed, and I could hear the wah, wah of the fan, and I could periodically feel something coming like a train or some large vehicle underneath the earth in the tunnel. I could feel it coming and then shaking the house and then going on. And I've had that same experience of the house shaking here where I live. I mean, I have no doubt. I mean, I'm right by Route 70. So anyway, how did I get trapped? I'll just make it short because it isn't nearly as interested as the fringe stuff I was sharing. But I got there, and the day after I got there with my little camper, my mother-in-law's suite on wheels, thank God for my little camper. Oh, my gosh. My son pulled into my truck, so I couldn't go anywhere. And then we had a nor'easter, which by the time the truck got fixed, I got trapped again with the nor'easter that, you know, damaged my camper and flooded the island and couldn't get off the island. Anyway, I had an afternoon window when I could escape before another nor'easter came and flooded it again with the tons and tons of sand across the road. So that's how I got home when I got home. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been here even now, maybe. Who knows? So that's my story for recently. How about you guys? My goodness, that was 33 minutes of yakety, yakety, yakety.
We've just been trying to catch up with what the heck is happening. You know?
So tell all, because you know I don't watch television or listen to the radio.
Well, let's talk about the bug, okay?
Okay.
All right, because it's confounding. You got to listen to I did an interview with Dr. Jennifer Daniels, and she's the woman that found turpentine and how miraculous turpentine is for all sorts of healing. So, anyway, I'd been wanting to do an interview with her, and somebody that knew her and knew me said, you know, anyway, we got together and I did a recording. And the woman just blew my mind. I mean, the things she was telling me, I had no doubt were true. I had known them, you know, whether you really think much about them, but you know that that's probably you know what I'm saying. And the first thing she said to me was, first off, she presents extremely well. She starts the show off talking about being a little kid, like not even 6 years old, and the neighbors trying to kill him because they're a black family in a white neighborhood, and physically the police were called and all this sort of thing, you know. And she proceeds to talk about growing up in the ghetto, where you basically go through life thinking somebody's going to try to kill me, and don't snitch. And her father was a crook. So she came from a background where she didn't fall into that dissidence, you know, the psychological, I can't handle this, I'm not going to think about it, because she had grown up in it. So when she gets into medicine, and all she wants to be is a healer. And she finds out, the first thing that she said that they taught her, or they said to her, was 50% of everything that we teach you is wrong. We just don't know which 50% it is. Okay, that's how she started her medical career, was them saying that to her. Now that was, I think she's 63 now, so that was, she would have been in the late 60s, 70 time frame, I think. You know, but 50% of it was wrong, and they knew it, okay? And she proceeds to just tell stories. She wrote a book called Lethal Dose, and the subtitle is Medical Murder is Not an Accident. Think about those words. A heavy, heavy conversation. But that thing with 50% is wrong, you know, stuck in my mind. Because I was stuck on this situation with what is a virus? Because I had biology, you know, the basic stuff. I wasn't a scientist. I wasn't taught at that level, but I was, you know, had college courses and this sort of thing. But, but biology, a virus is, in layman's terms, the way that I would have explained it, is similar to a bacteria, but not a bacteria, and it gets into your body and it makes you sick. But they don't have, you know, they don't have any way of curing a virus because it's not a bacteria. You know, I mean, that's basically what I would think of. Well, now I find out from doctors and people that are really, really like Dr. Daniels. All right, I said to her, you know, can you explain this corundum I'm in? Because I know what it's supposed to be by the way that I was taught. And now I'm finding out that it's never been alive. It's not neither dead nor alive, because it's a solvent that is excreted by bacteria and other microorganisms in a human body. When the body is being attacked, they're under stress. This is a toxin they put out to protect themselves. It's called a virus. And if they're really under attack and they're really putting out toxins, then the virus builds up in your body. And if it builds up too much, then that in of itself, you start to have a problem with too much toxicity in your body. And that's what we're dealing with. We're not dealing with something that can, and it's never contagious. And that's all they keep saying, is that you can't catch it. It's not alive or dead. It's not passed from human being to human being. It's created within the body itself.
That's what I've been hearing. Only I heard that it was when the body gets so poisoned that the cells put this toxin out. I didn't know it was the toxins from the bacteria. I thought it was from cells.
I thought it was initially cells, but then when I just read a paper, and it's short, it's sweet, and as soon as he started talking about the bacteria and stuff, I said, oh, that's right, those doctors did say that to me, but I couldn't get that, you know. Initially, all I was thinking of toxicity and detoxing as being cells, but they had all said that. I just didn't pick up on it. And so, yes, it seems to be this, you know, that they're like, and the reason I think it stuck in my mind is this new writer said it's like the canary in the gold in the mine, because the bacteria and the microorganisms, if you start getting a viral infection, it means all your cells are under attack. Something is going very wrong. And of course, we know that in this specific case, it's 5G.
5G, right.
And right. And the papers are coming out on that like you wouldn't believe. The details that are coming out because of this, especially because what they've discovered is it's not pneumonia in the lungs. It's actually that people are oxygen deprived, because the oxygen in the air from 5G is not allowing it to be uptaken into the body, into the blood.
Right. That's my understanding also.
Yes.
Well, we're certainly on the same page, and I love it. I'm just sorry you're so far away.
I'm not far away. I'm right here on the radio.
No, but it's not like we can get together and talk about it, you know, the afternoon over a cup of tea or something.
I talk about it, you know, for 8 hours a week. I'm dedicated about it. Never mind. I mean, I don't talk to many of my friends because I bore them and make them crazy, and, you know, they think I'm nuts. So,
except, I know, me too.
The longer we go down this path, the less nuts I sound.
You don't bore me.
Good. Well, you know, have you heard of Lee Harris? I love Lee Harris. He's an intuitive. He's a lovely gentleman from England. And he gives out a monthly weather report. And this guy is absolutely spot on every month. Very gentle soul. So he put out a new monthly weather report this month, and he said he had 10 points. And he said, now, one of the things is that you're going to become aware of some dark information. And he said it might be personal or it might be global. And he said also, and I thought, oh boy. And he wasn't real specific. And then he said, it's not going to stop at the end of May. He said, it's going to continue. And you probably know that there was a huge dump on the 22nd of April of, I think it was the whole stash of WikiLeaks was finally dumped onto the internet. And so now anybody who is interested in finding out anything about anyone can go and find out. So apparently it's huge, huge, huge. And apparently it's also complicated and hard to plow through. A lot of it is boring or details or I don't know.
I actually have a link to this. And all it is like a string of words on the left side. I didn't even start clicking on anything, you know. It's like, holy crap!
Well,
I'll get
there
to the
people that are interested.
I'll get that link out there.
Yeah. Oh, so go on. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. I apologize.
No, I'll get the link out there so people can actually, if you want to delve into it. I'm assuming it's the right place because, like I say, so I all of a sudden before I even heard that they had done a dump, I started getting interested in it. For some reason. And
I said, in
WikiLeaks, you know, and I'm
really?
Going, yeah, I said, I need to get a link to a WikiLeaks, you know, because I was focused on it. And somebody sent me a comment from the radio station, and said, have you seen the dump of WikiLeaks? Gives me the link. You know, that morning. I mean, that was that fast. So manifestation, just an indication of how fast it is. So yeah, I'll pass on what she sent to me, to people.
Well, this is very exciting because, you know, people are going to, I mean, a lot of people want to know. And well, I just think this is the way out. Yeah, go ahead.
Do you follow Q?
I don't read it because I don't follow enough of the mainstream media to have a clue what he's talking about.
Okay. When I first saw Q, I was aware that there was, I all of a sudden knew a lot about what was happening, okay? But mm-hmm. I didn't really, I was like, okay, somebody's going to come along that's going to do all this research for me, and then all I have to do is listen to what they say. And that happened, but I wasn't really interested in it. Until now, because in 2018, if you go back to his posts, you realize that they're giving you a blow by blow, day by day, by date, as to what happened in 2020. But they said it in 2018. But they're always saying the future will prove the past. So now I just got totally fascinated with what was happening. When we say the Q movement, what do we mean by that? Because there's no known person, one person who's the leader. They keep telling you, think for yourself. They keep giving you these Q drops that, you know, people can write or put a 2-hour show on with Q drops. You know what I'm saying? Or, right. You know, it's all BS if you're not part of it. But let's take a look at what's really happening. Because one of the fundamental problems that I think we're encountering right now is that you've got some people who are awake enough to say, you know something? I know something's wrong, and now I'm beginning to see what that is. And there's, mm-hmm. I would say, at least 30% of the people are in that category, maybe more. All right? Then you got these other people that they can't even conceive of it. They don't watch sci-fi. They don't watch television where the games, you know, where you're playing in a sci-fi environment. They just take life as what it's always been. Okay? And those people specifically have been really dumbed down.
Yes.
All right? So if we can get even just a few of them to begin to wake up. But the problem here is because you got so many of these people that they are anchoring in the reality. Because if you think of if reality is what we think it is, and the second rule is majority wins. You got an awful lot of people that just say, we'll never have a third world war because I can't conceive of it. We're not going to have all of this death and storms and all this scary stuff they tell us about because I can't conceive of it. And I think that their energy has been holding that reality together so that the extremes of what could happen, you know, don't. So here we have a situation where they're holding that reality together while two sides are trying to fight for their attention. And the dark side is, you know, trying to keep them in the dark because that's where they need them. They need them not to be playing the game they're playing. So now we have to put them into a state of fear, incredible fear. And right. Now they'll fall to our side. Where we're standing there going like, no, that's all crap. Come over here. You're all right. We're good. Come on over here. You know? And it's a game of multidimensional, universal, cosmic reality chess. And that's where we're at right now, is that we have to be able to reach out to the rest of humanity, just a few of them. You know, wake them up slowly. And so even though I am frustrated by the fact it seems to be dragging out, I can also honor the fact that we need time to wake these people up softly so they don't go into that state of fear.
Yes, 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 and yes. You know, I have quoted you so many times, and you aren't leaning in the direction of this right now in this discussion. But you said something about, you know, someone questioned you about, you're trying to make me think like you do. You're trying to convince me. And you said something to the effect of, no, I'm trying to get you to look, just look. And so I've quoted that, not obviously imperfectly, but I have mentioned that my friend Nancy Hopkins has said that if you would just look, you know, that people are not willing to look. You're not on that track right now. But I wanted to read something to that effect. There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. And that basically says what you said back then, Nancy. If people just would look. And I agree. I guess that it's really kind, it's compassionate to wake people up gently. I don't agree with soft disclosure because I think it isn't...
Oh, there's nothing soft about the disclosure. I mean, they've shut down the entire world.
Well, that's true, but they're not disclosing it.
Oh, yes, yeah. See, this is the key here, is that they are disclosing it. There have been for instance, day after day, there's more and more disclosure happening in many, many different areas. Okay, they just released the information that shows that the FBI was screwing Flynn and that the FBI is dirty as can be. Okay, they do that.
Did they release that? Oh!
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you have to think about your muting because we're getting a feedback here.
Okay, all right.
But, yeah, so we got that situation, you know, we're it's just being uncovered. The whole thing is falling apart over there. But when you look at the rest of what's happening, the fact that so many people, like you said, like you observed, your neighbors, aren't buying the story. You know, it's like that in and of itself is what the difference is. Is that they're being forced because they're in their homes. I bet that the vast majority of people, there are people that are terribly hurt, in terrible distress. But I bet the vast majority of people are going like, I don't know that I needed to work like that. I don't know if I needed to live like that. I have to reassess where I'm at. They've been given time to stop and to look. And that to me is the most important thing that's happened. I keep telling people, do you realize that the world has stopped? You know, and they're looking at all sorts of things that they've never thought to look at before. They trusting, you know, that these doctors are telling them the truth, that computers can predict the future based on raw bad data. You know, everybody knew it was bad data. You didn't have enough of it. You got them playing. It's almost like a last ditch desperation to play out their hand because they're trying to keep people in their homes without any reason anymore because everybody, the virus thing has fallen apart. Why are you trying to keep me in my home? Why are you destroying the economy? Why have you done... Why? They're looking at things like they've never looked at before.
I have something.
I knew you did.
I was trying to be patient.
Go.
Okay. And the people, the ordinary people, everyday people, especially those who didn't want to see the real world, are learning... from the deep state themselves, just how evil they are. From their mouths, from their hands and the keyboards and writing and from interviews and from doing things and not doing things for people. And they are exposing themselves. And I decided that's why Trump allowed Fauci to be right there beside him to help him to expose himself to the world. And that's what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Yeah, that's very true. Is that, you know, that's why I say it's dimensional chess, because Jan Shah is always saying, you know, that the Chinese thought is don't interrupt an enemy who's self-destructing. And that's where Trump plays. And he gets them into situations where they're like, you know, but I keep saying this. They have to have had a whole lot of electromagnetic crap in Washington, D.C., especially in these buildings that, you know, everything is that you're going to get the best systems, the most powerful systems in your government areas. So I think that a lot of these people are severely brain damaged from EMF, because what they're doing does not make any sense. They're saying things, they're admitting to things. You know, it's really strange. It's like they're self-confessing. They're being forced to confess.
Where are you finding this information on mainstream media?
Oh, I don't look at mainstream media. There's none of that.
Okay.
I never look at mainstream media.
No, I don't either. And so I was thinking that maybe you had gathered this information from something in the mainstream. So you're digging deeper than I do in the alternative stuff.
Well, I watch Fox. Okay, and I watch a lot of it, because what happens on Fox is that I think they give a much, they actually tell you what, they show you what Donald Trump said. They don't tell you what he said. And they also show snippets from what the other guys are doing, what they're saying. And I watch a lot. Every time the president comes up, the Fox will tell you he's coming up, he's going to do a press conference just out of the whim, you know. And so I've been really watching the president and watching what's being said by him, and then hear what these other mainstream fake news things are saying he said, and it doesn't even make sense what they're saying. So I do watch a lot of Fox, and it's interesting to see what they say that then and then analyze it from the, you know, alternative reality thing. And Fox gives a very, very solid details of certain things, like the Flynn thing. Most of what I know about Flynn I got from Fox, because they interviewed the lawyer, Sidney Powell. I mean, she is absolutely amazing. And, you know, she said, just think of what we got in the last, you know, few days. And this is the tip of the iceberg. So that's why I like Fox, because you don't get somebody of her caliber on alternative radio.
They always give their sources.
Yeah, it's a much better way of getting information, is just turn that on and see what they say.
Well, I don't have a TV, so I can't do that, but I've heard that Fox has sort of become a renegade, which sounds real good to me.
They talk about the media. Do you know what the media is doing now? Like, they're not part of the media. You know?
And they even show the media's clips.
That's why I said,
do you believe this is what they're saying? Yeah. And they show the clip.
Yeah. That's why I say I get to see what the other guy is saying, because Fox shows what they're saying. And it doesn't sound reasonable to me. I just heard the man say, he did not say eat lights. You know, don't eat lights and don't put, you know, what was that stuff? Lysol in your veins. No. And, you know, but it's just crazy. Okay, so we're at the top of the hour. I'm going to play a song that's called Divine Light, and it's a bioenergetic music by Barbara Menezes and her husband, Craig Stewart. So it's 5 minutes. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
And welcome back to the Say What Show. It is May 2nd, 2020. My name is Nancy Hopkins. With me is Dolly Howard and Barbara White. Dolly, why don't you start off this hour? What would you like to talk about, or do you have comments, either one of you, about what we just did?
I got my comments in. I wanted to tell you, in case you didn't read any of what I had put in our Skype today, you can't say the bug name and the alphabet and the number thing in the same show now, because if you do, you will be taken off of YouTube for sure. Did you get what I said? Don't try it even. Can't say those in the same show.
That's why I call it the bug.
Yes.
Well, good thing I didn't say I called it what that which must not be named. I didn't even know that.
I was waiting, and I was going to talk over you.
Oh, my.
Just in case you did, I was going to talk right over you.
Oh, my.
And then try to explain it to you.
You know what? That's great, because that's taking the energy out of it.
Yeah.
You know, that which must not be named. Oh, Dr. Yes, Jennifer, thank you. Thank you. The doctor's name. Yes. I was impressed with her when I listened to her. The doctor you were speaking about.
This is a different interview than I've heard her give. She might have done it someplace and I didn't see it, but this is like the information she shared I had not heard before from her.
Too cool. I might have to look that up.
I'll get you the link here to the show, to her show.
So what's been going on with you guys? I got off the island and got untrapped. And you guys know I have a guru. And I'm not as devoted as I used to be years ago. But I still follow it and pay attention to it. And it's really interesting because she's been talking about staying at home. And at the end of it, she's done a lot of live streams, which... You know, we were lucky if we got one a year. And today we've had two. And this week we've had at least 2 days that we had them. She's been very, very fierce talking about staying at home and keeping social distance and being respectful. And I don't know why. I thought, you know, I don't know if she knows things, like, intuitively. I don't know. But I talk about fringe information. I mean, I don't even know if you could make this up, but I heard somewhere not very long ago, and I don't know where I heard it, but they were talking about, you know, what implants or plugs or entities are, you know what they are, right?
Yes, we know.
They're beings or they're inserts that have been planted in us, either interdimensionally or if you ever used to watch, if anyone watched The X-Files, they would implant things in the back of people's necks. But anyway, they're implants, all kinds of implants. Should I stop, Dolly?
No, you continue with your thought.
Okay.
Just whenever you're done.
Okay, let me just finish this.
Yeah.
But someone was saying that social distancing is really a good idea because some of these entities that are attached to us that are a different dimension, I have no clue why, but they thrive on close proximity of other human beings to survive. And when we are literally keeping distance, they are dying off or leaving the planet by the billions.
Well, that makes sense, because one of the things that I started laughing about was that to make people have this distance between them, which 6 feet, that doesn't make any sense, really. I mean, what's the science behind that? But 6 feet is like where the real power of your aura goes out, depending on who you are. But normal people, you know, it's only about 6 feet. So let's say it goes out about 6 feet, and so you're always interacting. I mean, when you go through the daily life, you're not ever in your own space. You're always in somebody else's space getting bounced around. And it's discordant energy at many places. And where you have discordant energy is what they feed on. So if people aren't just from an energy standpoint, a science of energy. So if people aren't bumping into each other, causing these pockets of, you know, negative energy happening, just because the energies don't match, you would have a die off of these. Now, one of the interesting things that I just want to throw in here before you talk, Dolly, I don't know if you heard this, but Gene Decode said that they had, well, we heard about this, I've heard about it from a number of different places, that when they took China Lake, they actually captured the repository of the chemtrails, the stuff that was making the chemtrails. Well, now they've taken over these planes that were delivering all this chemtrail stuff, and they have put in like almost like a hydrogen peroxide into these things. It's a little different, and they are chemtrailing again, but they're throwing this stuff out to kill whatever is out there that is germy, you know? So that was just, and they had a picture of this plane with all of these containers of this stuff, this chemical. It was weird. Anyway.
I hope it's true.
Me too. Did you have more to say there, Barbara? Because Dolly needs to, before she forgets.
No, I want Dolly to come in.
Dolly.
Oh, goody. Hold on, I had a little snacky poo. I need to pull up what I told you earlier, Nancy, so that I have a little reminders. Come on. Here it is. I want to share this with you all because if you get an email like this, I don't want you to panic. I mean, I sat there and laughed because it was so funny, but you could possibly, there's a scam going on, you could possibly get an email with one of your passwords in the subject area. And then they go further to say, they took over your computer. And they've been turning your webcam on and watching you masturbate. And so they have taken videos of it, and they're going to send it out to your contact list, because they have your contact list and whatever else they said. And they think, what's this one? They said, you might be afraid to show your face. Oh, you'll be afraid to show your face to your friends. I thought, you got to be kidding. If I was ever able to do that, I might want to show my face to my friend. I haven't been interested in any sex for years and years and years because they did complete hysterectomy on me. So, you know, that thought doesn't enter my mind. And I'm sitting there reading through this stupid email. And I thought, what? They sure didn't do it from me. Someone else got that one. So, let me see. The name, I forgot what was the name, JoJo something? Yeah, JoJo Grotrain. And they said they'd been watching me for 133 days. Self-pleasure video footage, porn material web pages, heavy, an unquestionably weird preference, by the way, laugh my ass off. What, nothing? Will you be capable to gaze into anyone's eyes after I release the videos if you don't pay USD $3,000 in BTC and send them on the list below, listed below address, which is in case sensitive. So you have to copy and paste it, and then you have to remove it. Yeah, right. I don't know what is a BTC even in the first place.
I think it's Bitcoin.
Oh, okay. Look online how to acquire BTC. I do not want to waste my important time. If you send out this particular donation, in parentheses, let's call this that, I will vanish. You may very well carry on living your current normal life day to day with no fear. You've got one day in order to do so. Your time begins as soon as you check out this email. I have got a special code that will inform me once you read this email, so don't try to play smart. And that's when I was laughing and I said, "Net, get in here, I'm being blackmailed." And she said, "Mom, don't touch anything in it." So I didn't. I just typed it myself from reading what the email said so that I could share it with y'all. Please, if you get that, I pulled up a site. I can copy and paste the site if you want to look it up, that says the FBI knows about it and all these other agencies know about it, and they pretty much put verbally what the letter had said to me. And so I don't want you to be scared. Copy. If I can do this. And in the chat room, I'm putting the paste where you can go and check it out. Oh, hey, it let me do it. So that's all I wanted to say. I just wanted you to know it sounds pretty rough, but if you know you haven't done anything that says you did, you got no problems. And if you did, I'm not saying you did, but if you did and you get scared, you don't need to be scared. They don't know how to do shit. So that's all I wanted to say about it. I just didn't want people to get scared. Or laugh themselves silly like I did.
Public information.
Well, Nancy and I had an email discussion before this show came on, and there was a chance that I would have to leave early. And something has come up that I do need to leave. And I apologize because I would love to stay with you. But this is important. So I'm sending both of you love. I'm sorry to abandon you, but we'll talk soon again.
Well, you should have said that, and then I wouldn't have taken up your time.
Oh, I'm so glad that you did, Dolly. I'm glad that you did. I'm sending you both monster big hugs, and those people that are listening, thank you for joining us, and hopefully I'll be with you next month.
Awesome. Yeah. You be safe.
All right. Thank you, and you too. Much
appreciate
love
you.
To you. Me too. I appreciate you both. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Honey. Okay, so it's just you and me, Dolly. Wow, we haven't done a you and me before.
Oh, I contacted Walt right away. Told him maybe we should just clean my computer, because it reminded me I hadn't had it cleaned in a while. Uh-huh. And he said he got the same thing.
Really?
He was laughing. Yeah, I got the same thing. Can you believe it?
Well, I got this message came up on Facebook, you know, and it was some person I didn't know, you know, because when these new people, when you know, they come in, you say, okay, and then, you know, they message you. Like, I think it's so rude. If they do that to me, I ignore them. If they do it again, I'll unfriend them, you know.
Yeah.
And I open up this thing, it's a video, and I open it up, and it's cartoon characters having sex.
Oh, jeez.
I mean,
what's,
you know,
the point of it?
I don't have a clue.
You don't.
No, I don't. And, you know, so I defended him. But it's like, who knows what these people, I mean, some of the things on comments that we get, you know that there's something is really wrong with these people. And God bless them, you know.
Oh, there was something, I can get rid of that one. There was something on a comment that I wanted to point out to you. And if I can find the places. Oh, I thought that the person, Soraya, who made the comment on last week's Cosmic Reality Show, I thought that person was wonderful, and I wanted to say thank you. They were telling Nancy about Switzerland and how they hadn't closed all of Switzerland from the number and letter and name. And they're getting her more information as they get it, even because they live there. I thought that was so nice. Our peoples really do help us out. And they're entertaining.
Yeah, that was on the Radio 5G. No, it wasn't.
No,
no,
that
it was Cosmic Reality.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's like I told her. I saw a number of entries, and I used the one that had the Financial Times, the one that had the most stature, even though they're mainstream, because most people want to see mainstream.
Right.
You know. And what they were saying was that even though the infrastructure was still being built, they weren't allowing it to be turned on. So that's what my, you know, she said it was, what'd she say it was? Wrong information or, you know, erroneous.
You're very welcome. I live here in Switzerland. Must be in the, no, you said thank you. I got to go back up. Oh, a piece of information for the lady host who gave incorrect information.
See, I didn't give incorrect information, you know. I gave information that may have been incorrect because it was, and I may have not made that clear, is that they said you couldn't turn on the system. You can build it out. There's all sorts of, you know, contracts that are making the towns and counties or whatever they call them in Switzerland put the infrastructure in, but there has been a moratorium on its usage, turning it on. And that's what I was questioning her on. Are you sure, you know?
Yeah.
And because I would have liked to have seen more on that subject, but I couldn't get, you know, virtually any more than I got.
Yeah, I think she gave you everything she had.
Yeah, and she could be very right. And I'd rather, you know me. I don't need to be right. I need to know. So, but because I've said, you know, it's a system. You can put all the crap you want up there, but if you don't turn the damn thing on, it's not going to work.
Right.
So I'm hoping that that's. And I also have heard that the Asian countries turned off the stuff.
It's our fire alarm because Annette is barbecuing right outside the door.
I'm going to put you on mute. Oh my God. So now I'm here by myself. Wow, I lost the two. Anyway, so how are you people been doing? Yeah? Strange world we're in. I don't know what to tell you. I just go day by day. I do think that it's interesting, so many people that, yes, you know, like I've said, you know, there are people that have a lot of problems, but the interesting thing is, you know, the changes that you're already seeing happen. Wait a minute, let me just see if she's done. Are you okay?
Yes, I've been back. I told you, but
Well, I had muted you because you muted me too.
I muted me and you muted.
Oh, I didn't know you'd muted. I was like, I can't handle this. Yeah. I started to say that, you know, there's so many people out there that are, there's going to be so many changes just because it's happened. Cindy, 60% of her business, which is thousands of people, are working from home. You know, you're going to have people that the businesses are going to slim down because they're going to figure that they make a lot of money, get the same productivity from their people, and not have to pay the overhead of putting them in an office that they have to maintain. And can you imagine the amount of money they're going to save in toilet paper? You know, so you know, you've got a good portion of the people, because the people, it's like they're going to find out that because they don't have to run their car as much, their insurance is going to go down because they're not driving as much. The gas is going to go down. So they're going to be able to take actually a cut in how many hours that they may be working. You know, yeah. They're going to be a lot more flexible that way. Because you are now got all these people at home, you don't have the infrastructure problems with highways. You know, it's all of a sudden everybody, you know, my insurance company, USAA, I don't know, millions of dollars, $30 million or something, that they're going to disperse back into their holders, their insurance holders, because they didn't have to pay out for accidents. So your insurance rates are going to go down. The concept of things that people, you know, always thought they needed, that they're now going like, why did I think I needed that, or I needed to do that, or, you know, it's like you're not doing it, and the world has come to a stop, and has anything terrible happened to you personally? You know, I mean, unless you've lost your job and you're into that whole thing. But then again, some people who lost their job are actually making more money than when they were working.
And they aren't going to want to go back to work.
I don't blame them.
I don't either.
You know, so there's going to be massive changes. Certainly the colleges are, some of those colleges aren't going to survive, I think, because more people are going to realize, well, I can do this, from a computer. I don't need to spend the hundreds of thousands of dollars to go to a college.
And certain, at their convenience, even.
Yeah, and if it isn't the child, it's certainly going to be the parents.
Yeah.
Wow, I can put that into my retirement, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there are massive changes that are going to come about simply because they've experienced a new alternative reality. And it's just fascinating to watch.
I'm really excited to see, like, 10 years down the road, what is it's going to be like for my kids and my grandchildren, because it's not going to be like we've had it all these years. It's just, it can never go back exactly the same as prior to. People have experienced too much to go back.
Absolutely.
I just think it's so exciting.
Okay. Let me see. All right. Where is this one? I want to play you a clip. It was a... Okay, here it is. It's a clip that was on Facebook last night. And it's put out by Tomfoolery. And it's a bedtime story. Of the, you know, that word we don't talk, we don't say?
Yes,
that
yes.
That five-letter word? Okay. but I just found it, well, I found it sweet. So here, I'm going to play this here.
Okay.
Tell me the one about the virus again, then I'll go to bed.
But my boy, you're growing weary, sleepy thoughts about your head.
Please, that one's my favorite. I promise, just once more.
Okay, snuggle down, my boy, though I know you know full well. The story starts before then, in a world I once would dwell. It was a world of waste and wonder, of poverty and plenty, back before we understood why hindsight's 2020. You see, the people came up with companies to trade across all lands, but they swelled and got much bigger than we ever could have planned. We'd always had our wants, but now it got so quick. You could have anything you dreamed of in a day, and with a click. We noticed families had stopped talking. That's not to say they never spoke, but the meaning must have melted, and the work-life balance broke. And the children's eyes grew squarer, and every toddler had a phone. They filtered out the imperfections, but amidst the noise, they felt alone. And every day the skies grew thicker, till you couldn't see the stars. So we flew in planes to find them, while down below, we filled our cars. We'd drive around all day in circles. We'd forgotten how to run. We swapped the grass for tarmac, shrunk the parks till there were none. We filled the sea with plastic, because our waste was never capped. Until each day when you went fishing, you'd pull them out, already wrapped. And while we drank and smoked and gambled, our leaders taught us why. It's best to not upset the lobbies. More convenient to die. But then in 2020, a new virus came our way. The governments reacted and told us all to hide away. But while we all were hidden, amidst the fear, and all the while, the people dusted off their instincts. They remembered how to smile. They started clapping to say thank you, and calling up their mums. And while the car keys gathered dust, they would look forward to their runs. And with the skies less full of voyagers, the earth began to breathe, and the beaches bore new wildlife that scuttled off into the seas. Some people started dancing, some were singing, some were baking. We'd grown so used to bad news, but some good news was in the making. And so when we found the cure, and were allowed to go outside, we all preferred the world we found to the one we'd left behind. Old habits became extinct, and they made way for the new. And every simple act of kindness was now given its due.
But why did it take a virus to bring the people back together?
Well, sometimes you've got to get sick, my boy, before you start feeling better. Now lie down and dream of tomorrow and all the things that we can do. And who knows, if you dream hard enough, maybe some of them will come true. We now call it the Great Realization. And yes, since then there have been many. But that's the story of how it started, and why hindsight's 2020.
And there you have it. What'd you think, Dolly?
That was nice. And his voice was so calm, too. I liked his voice.
Yeah, it was impressive to me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know, that's kind of what the way I'm seeing it, you know, that we're into a complete change.
Yeah.
And people are waking up.
And they're doing it, like we've said, at a calmer pace. And I think that was important, to have the calmer pace. Some of them would have just freaked out and they'd never come back.
Okay, am I muted? Oh, I don't know if I'm muted.
No, you're not muted.
Okay, all right. A couple of interesting things happened in the last, well, day and a half. The president signed two executive orders. Now, the first one was to activate reserve personnel, Army Reserve personnel. For no longer than, I think it said 365 days, which is, interesting. That's a year. And no more than 200 at a time. And their mission is to assist in the takedown of the drug trafficking. I'm not sure what that all means, except that...
I was going to say, is that real?
Oh, yeah, it's from the White House.
No, I mean, really, is that the real reason that he's sending the National Guards out?
Oh, well, it's to do this operation. The cover story for it is, oh, yeah, we're after drug traffickers, remember? Traffickers.
Okay.
You know?
Yes.
So I found that very interesting. I found it interesting that there was only 200 mentioned at any one time. And that could be some kind of a legal thingy, I don't know. But anyway, so that happened. Then there's another one. And the other one is, let me see if I've got it up here. Do I have it up here? Oh, I had it. Okay, here we go. Okay. This one is really interesting. Okay, the title of it is Executive Order on Securing the United States Bulk, B-U-L-K, dash, Power System. And it was issued on yesterday, May 1st. By the authority vested in me, blah, 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 I, Donald Trump, blah, 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 find that foreign adversaries are increasingly creating and exploiting vulnerabilities in the United States bulk power system, which provides the electricity that supports our national defense, vital emergency services, critical infrastructure, economy, and way of life. The bulk power system is a target of those seeking to commit malicious acts against the United States and its people, including malicious cyber activities, because a successful attack on our bulk power system would present significant risk to our economy, human health, and safety, and would render the United States less capable of acting in defense of itself and its allies. I finally find that the unrestricted acquisition of U.S. abuse in the United States of bulk power systems, electric equipment designed, developed, manufactured, or supplied by persons owned by, controlled by, or subject to the jurisdiction or direction of foreign adversary, augments the ability of foreign adversaries to create and exploit vulnerabilities in the bulk power system of the electric equipment with potential catastrophic effects. I therefore determined that the unrestricted foreign supply of bulk power systems electric equipment constitutes an unusual and extraordinary threat to the national security, foreign policy, and economy of the United States, which has its source in whole or in substantial part outside the United States. This threat exists both in the case of individual acquisitions and when acquisitions are considered as a class. Although maintaining an open investment climate in bulk power system equipment, electricity equipment, and in the United States economy more generally, it is important for the overall growth and prosperity of the United States. Such openness must be balanced with the need to protect our nation against a national security threat. and he's declared a national emergency regarding it, and then it goes on for a lot of paragraphs explaining that he's virtually taken over complete control of all the acquisition of all the electric system in the United States. They can't arbitrarily buy their equipment from China anymore. Now, that's, you would think, oh my gosh, you know, because China's the only place that has it. But what is integral to this particular thing is now you are protecting the United States from, you know, having your infrastructure being controlled by China or other places, and any other places. And now you're forcing it to be built in the United States, which will provide an incredible impetus to the economy in just that one sector. So this is an incredibly important piece of documentation. You know, this is impressive.
I do not understand anything about it. It just is way over my head.
No, it isn't. Look at your electric lines. Okay, the lines that the wire, all right, is probably manufactured in China. And if China tells you, oh, you just burnt up your wires, we're not going to give you any. Okay? But the other aspects of it, the transformer. Right now, let's say a pulse from the sun comes out and blows our electric system. Right now, to get a transformer, a new transformer, that you have to get from China, because that's where they build them, is 3 years. You want to be out of electricity for 3 years?
Oh, no.
See, this is another one of those stories that, you know, most people don't want to pay any attention to, that I've been looking at for a long time with a lot of other people, is you can take this country down with what's called an electromagnetic pulse. Just blow the system. And this is historically already happened. There was a sunburst that took out a good portion of the Canadian electric system.
Oh, my gosh.
I think it wasn't too long ago. It was no later than the late 80s, but it might be even, you know, closer in. But it just blew them up because there's no protection on the equipment. So to get it, you have to go to China. And now he's saying, no, we're not going to do that. So he is taking an incredibly important security step for the United States. And he is interjecting a massive amount of activity in the economy. You're gonna start building the plants that can build the equipment. You're gonna hire and train people that, you know, have lost their jobs that they weren't happy in anyway. You know, I mean, for everything that seems like a downer, there is a different. You take another look at it and you go, oh,
it's really an upper.
It's an upper.
Because the people are gonna be trained in new skills, and oh my. And we won't have to rely on anybody. I got that from him right away when we're the world's finding out, oh, we rely on China. We can't do anything without China. I'm thinking, oh, Trump is not going to settle for that. Things will change. Heads will roll.
Well, he had been saying for decade, you know, this thing with China is wrong. He'd been very vocal about the China problem.
Yeah.
That's why I was surprised when he seemed to be buddy-buddies with a Chinese president, because he had been so anti-China.
But he knows how to play the games.
Didn't he write The Art of the Deal?
I don't know.
Yeah, he wrote a book, The Art of the Deal.
Well,
you know
there
what?
You go.
Your next book, we should read that.
Yeah, we could do that.
Wouldn't that piss people off?
Yes. That'd be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd love to hear what that book said.
No, we'll have to plan on that, but I got a long way to go on when God had a wife one, because I had to cut it down to an hour.
Yeah.
I feel bad about that, but I really can't go beyond an hour.
You know, I got to tell you, I've been having this really strange thing. The cat just spooked me. She's black, completely black, except this little white tuft in these eyes that are the darker green, you know?
You're such a racist.
I know.
But she, I had to throw it in.
She is like a shadow. So I'm always continually kicking her, and she's forced me to take my shoes off. I don't wear shoes in the house anymore because I kicked her so many times with shoes on.
Oh.
Which is good. You know, now I don't like the shoes. But I've been having, in the last, again, day and a half, this very, maybe 2 days, no, about a day and a half, this weird thing where I feel like I bumped into something, somebody, more than something. And it's happened 4 times where I had this weird, you know, bumping in to to somebody, but three times where it was like bumping in, I was doing, I actually looked to see who I could have possibly bumped into. And also last night, now the dog needs it cold in the bedroom, so I'm under the covers, you know, and all of a sudden I feel like somebody with a cold hand, more like a breeze, actually more like a wind, right over my forehead. Not my face, not anything else, not a wind in the room. There's no way a wind could have been in the room. And it was so odd that I was like, that was odd. But what was the strangest thing is my reaction. I wasn't spooked by any of this. And, you know, I'm laying there and I'm going like, I'm not spooked. It doesn't feel good or it doesn't feel bad. It just feels like, oh, another thing in reality. And I actually feel as if I was bumping into myself.
Yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, I like did not expect that.
Like like another version of me. Like the we've got all these different versions. This is when they're talking about the, you know, the multi-universe. There's all these different versions of us. And I remember years ago, I'm talking about back in the early 90s, that they were talking about the end times where you would be aware of like 10, and dimension isn't the word, it's like layer of realities at a time. And I just, it was just this like almost this intuition that I just bumped in. That's why I had no reaction or response even when I thought about it. It was like, oh, that's interesting. So I don't know if that's going to happen to other people that were just, you know, it's probably like timelines collapsing, you know? And so you're on a timeline, two timelines that suddenly merge together, you know? And obviously I'm the dominant timeline because I felt it. And, you know, if it was the other way around, I would have just merged with them. I wouldn't necessarily have felt it. But I felt a bump.
Well, do you think it merged with you now?
Yeah.
Oh. Do you feel any different?
Yes.
Do you have different thoughts?
I'm not sure what you mean by that. Because, yes, I'm having different thoughts because I'm wondering what this is about, but I'm not having any feeling of there's somebody else in my head. No, it's me. It's just another...
When you think about... okay, you need to take the trash out. So...
I'll let them do it.
Sounds good to me. Well, do you think about doing it in a different way than you normally would do it? Or do you just do it out of habit the normal way you do it? Well, do you tie the bag differently? Do you close the bag differently? Do you put it by the door and think, okay, I got this far, I'll take it out the rest of the
Dolly,
way?
Dolly, I don't pay that much attention to those things. I forget that I've got the best fed fish in the world because I keep forgetting that I fed them. You know what I'm saying? It's like you can't see uneaten food in a fish tank. Whereas if I go to feed the cats, I go, oh, they've got food. I must have already done this.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh my gosh.
I'm really, really, I mean, I've done this, you know, for a long time. When I was working as the office manager, the boss would come in and he'd say, you know, can I see the file and so and blah. And I'd go blank. I had absolutely no idea what he'd be talking about. And I'd say, well, can you tell me a little bit more about it so that I'd try to figure out where I might have filed such a file. And then I go to where I think it could be, and God, I find this thing, and I look at it, and I go, I must have done 2 weeks of my time on this thing. But once something is done, it's like I put it in this filing cabinet that is full of dust.
I never was able to do that. I had to keep it everything in my head.
Wow. Once it's done, it's gone. And I know that about me. That's why it's always amazing that I seem to be able to pull up really old and interesting facts. It's like the stuff that I might need is in another filing cabinet. You know, well, let me think. Wait a minute, what was that? You know, and it's like this thing opens up, and I go, oh yeah, okay, I got it.
Something that is redundant to you, it doesn't matter. You've done it. It's gone.
It's gone.
You don't have to. You put it in the one that you don't need to.
Yes, and unfortunately, sometimes too fast because I can't remember if I just did it 5 minutes ago. You know, sometimes I wonder if even in my body, you know. It's like,
oh my gosh.
My world. Well, my reality.
You aren't going to help me with your feel of. Do you feel the same or do you feel different then?
I actually feel, let me say, I could use the word grounded or stable, but it's not really that. It's more like I feel more filled in. There's more of me. Yeah, there's more of
me. I can understand that, yeah. Huh.
I wonder if when we go to life, and because you and I are, you know, over 70, and when we go through life, maybe it is that, you know, all these options that you have, you know, I mean, I've got things that I'm going to do that someday, you know, the to-do it list never happens. And as you get older, you start to go like, I ain't going to do that. Nope, ain't going to do that either, you know.
And don't need that experience.
No, I'm over that, you know. So maybe if you think in terms of every decision you make creates an energy timeline. It just starts up because that's how powerful we are. That as you get to the end of your life, just like you start throwing out things that you're not going to do, maybe we also become more the same with ourself in all these different varieties of timeline, and they just start to merge, and that the real truth of the sacredness of the elderly is that they're much more together than the rest of us.
Yeah, might not appear to be, but they are. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Me, I've come to a place where I used to care about everything. Everything and everyone, everything had to be in its place. And oh my gosh, I'd drive myself and everybody around me crazy. Now, I have to have everything in its place. I mean, like neatness. But when it comes to people and their experiences, they're having a bad time or they're upset about something, or they're really exceedingly happy. Whereas before, I could kind of empathize with them, and anymore I think, well, that's another experience they're having in their lifetime. It's like, where did my give a shit go? It got up and went away.
Exactly. I'm assuming it comes with age, you know, because when I was younger, it seemed like all sorts of things were very important.
Yeah. And my son just did something and I was testing him. And he passed the test. And I thought, if he ever passed that test, I would be ecstatic and go buy fireworks and set them off. And all I thought was, oh, thank you, God. He finally matured enough to have passed that one of his lessons.
It was a lesson that you thought he needed to learn?
Yeah.
A life lesson?
He needed to learn it. No, I don't want to say it.
No, but a life lesson. I didn't know if he was taking a driver's license exam.
No, a life's lesson. A big, important life's lesson. And I lived long enough to see he learned it. And I'm so, I just, okay, he learned his lesson. Let's move on. Moving right along, that seems to be my phrase. Moving right along, or we'll see. I don't get worked up over anything. Mom, the world's gonna end like this and like that, and okay, we'll see. And that's all the reaction they get out of me, and they look at me kind of funny. Where's my mom? Who took my mom?
They can't get a rise out of you, huh?
No. I just look at things like, okay, that one's learned. That one's passed. What's moving right along? And I crack myself up. I never thought I'd be that relaxed. Well, it's been this way ever since that hospital experience, what I call the earthquake. And I like it. I like being here.
Hey, listen, I have somebody sent me a link to some really interesting short meditative kind of things. It's only 3 minutes and 21 seconds. And it's from Green Tara Guru. And it's called Mother Nature. It might be a good way to just end this, not quite end the show, but sort of.
Okay.
Okay, 3 minutes and 21 seconds.
I am Mother Nature. I flow blissfully in all life. I am the pure, unadulterated life force of creation. My truth is inexhaustible, ever-expanding bliss. I am a direct manifestation of the One Source. I am the first reflection of the Beloved Source. I am Mother Creator. Some call me Divine Feminine. You can call me Life. I exist in all forms of nature. I am the 12th dimension outside of all dreams. I am the Tree of Life. And who are you? You have a gift of creative imagination. All that you imagine comes into being in your dream. I come to remind you of your powerful gift to dream a new earth into being. Dream big, my dear child. You're talented beyond measure. Dream me, your Mother Nature, into my fullness again. Dream our bond of love into being on Mother Earth again. Imagine our ecstatic symbiosis, our joyful coexistence, our awe-inspiring integration. Imagine humanity in complete love and reverence for Mother Life. Dream advancement of love, harmony, joy, playfulness, and awe. This is the new earth. A new dream filled with bliss for all. Open up your body. Open up your energy channels. Open your heart and cells. Receive my gift of life fully. I am the giver of life. I am inviting you, yes, you, to dance with me again. Take your shoes off. Unleash yourself. Touch me often with your bare feet. Attune your body to my rising vibration. I shall uplift you like never before. Hug me often with your love. I am to be found in all that is. Learn from the trees. They are great teachers, not as silent as you may believe. Relax. Let go. Trust and surrender. I am your mother. I am life. We are all one. one cosmic body of love.
Wasn't that pleasant?
Yeah, I liked that voice, yes. It was nice. I don't have any idea what she said because I was into listening to her voice.
I was going to say, did you hear what she said?
No!
Well, that's funny. That's funny. So, it's the top of the hour. Still got some time, though, because we started late.
Uh-oh. How much time do we have?
4 minutes.
Oh, okay. Thank you for the show and chat. You're welcome, Sam. Thank you for coming, y'all. There was something I wanted to talk to y'all about, but I forgot it. It went away. Oh, doggone it.
Well, I just hope that everybody out there, you know, is feeling safe. You know, this there is no boogeyman out there to come get you. I mean, there's a boogeyman, but not this boogeyman thing that we're not supposed to say the word.
Right.
You know, it's a godsend. You know, as I was listening to Mother Nature and listening to the words, yes, it's like, who knows what planned all this out that has got everything happening like it is. It could be a lot worse, and it's not.
Right.
You know?
It was planned to be worse by the deep state, but then the white hats got their hands on it.
Or was
it, and look how it's turning out. That's what I heard.
Or is it the white hats part of the pawns of the higher universal spiritual intervention group? Angels, God, Source, Mother Nature, you know, who's really orchestrating it? And the best we can do is to, you know, just participate in a loving kind way. You know, trying to help people out by just talking about things that they, you know, now or more and more are talking about, that's for sure. It's a new world. A new world, I tell you, Dolly Howard.
Yes, it is. And it's fun for me to be part of it. And I love to sit here and every day watch what the Michiganders are doing. To me, they're pioneers in this new world. Because I think they were the ones who started the protest in the first place. No, Gov, we're not gonna do just having abortions and smoking weed and only buy the food you tell us we can in the grocery store. We're not gonna do your rules. We're taking our lives back. I'm just so freaking proud of them. And I feel when I see them, I can see the wagons and the guns, the muskets, and only their AK-47s or whatever they're called, and they're riding down the around the square of the where the Capitol is in their horse and buggies and on their horses. And to me, I just think they're wonderful people who are starting up our new lives in a wonderful way. Boy, did I get off on that or what?
Well, 70% of the people out there still think that that's a terrible idea, but those are the 70% that, you know, we're not going to worry about right now because they're fine. We're just,
yeah.
If you're happy being there, then we're happy you're there. We'll pick you up on the new
maybe.
Train, maybe. Hey, listen, now we're at the end of the show. Thank you, sweetie. I appreciate it. Thank Barbara. Barbara, it was fun.
Yeah, thanks, Barbara. I'm glad she came back. And I was on Hatteras, Cape Hatteras, when I was a kid. We were driving on it on that two-lane highway, and there was a hurricane coming in, and we could see the sky was black over the Atlantic coming in. I was scared to death. And they made us get off the island. Okay, I just want to say that. Bye-bye, y'all. Love you.
Be safe, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Say What? Say What Radio Show. With no agenda. It's always a surprise. But if we're not having fun, we're doing something wrong.